others. You must love others. A sermon this morning is going to be coming from 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12. I wonder, do kids still pass Valentines in school? Do they still do that? I remember in grade school, passing around little Valentines. I know the teacher encouraged it to some extent, and our parents encouraged it. And how many Valentines did you pass out when you were in grade school? However many students were there was how we did it. If there was 30 students, then we made sure and passed out 30 Valentines. That was the intent. It was a cute little exchange. But I'll be honest with you, at the time, and let me ask you, did you know? Did you really know what it meant to be a Valentine or ask somebody to be a Valentine? I suppose to some extent we recognize that there was some friendship involved. But at some point along the way, as you get older, it gets a little narrowed down, doesn't it? There's a thought there that there's going to be a few, maybe more specifically one special person that you might consider your Valentine, and someone that you hope that you in turn got a Valentine from. And again, I still would say I'm not so sure that we fully understood, even as getting older, that what it means or to be a Valentine. I know I've said this often, and I probably will say it again. The word love is tossed around so freely today. Although I think maybe in the past I maybe beat up a little bit on our time frame. I want to say, hasn't it probably always been that way? That love, or at least the implication of love, is passed around maybe just a little bit loosely. I know in the Greek there's four or five, depending on how you look at words that we in our English translations just simply utilize as love. And we have many differing views in our own lives and the way others treat us, right, as we consider what love is. I think, sadly, I say this sadly because it really affects sometimes our ability to be loving or to even receive love. Sadly, I think we sometimes want to define what love is by how others have treated us. In other words, if we had a family that was not very loving, if we had a spouse that was not very loving, if we had friends who were not very loving, at least as we think they ought to be, caring, outwardly active, right? Not words. Love is not words. Words can be anything. I can say anything to you at any time. I'm sure you've had people share words with you that meant nothing. I'm talking about actively choosing to care for another person. This is the kind of love that I'm talking about. And in the Bible, Jesus Christ gives us a picture of ultimate love. There is no higher picture of love than what we can see in the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ that he gave us at the cross. If you have your Bible with you now and you want to turn, I'm going to be at 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest or revealed among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we had loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, or basically forgiveness, for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us also, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, speaking of God the Father. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. Lynn, would you ask a blessing on our text and our sermon this morning? idea behind that, at least what I hear in it, is it is not always easy to love, right? It isn't always easy to love those who are outwardly loving you. Ask my wife. She could probably give you some times that I wasn't necessarily easy to be loved. Is it easy to love some of the people that you would say are the most natural people that you would love? Those are in your family, those are your children or your parents or your siblings or whatever. Those who you outwardly, everything within you says, I want to love them. Sometimes it's not easy. So understand what I'm telling you this morning and what John is telling us, it is not easy. However, it is right. I love the way John opens up this section. And he opens up the verses that we have in front of you too, the last two verses in the same way. What is that word? Beloved. Beloved, a term of endearment. Right? In some places in the Bible, that Greek word is simply translated dear rather than beloved. But it's this idea of a word of that some way you're trying to tell somebody you're important, beloved. We believe that John, we don't have it in our Bibles, but historically we believe John was one of the few apostles that did not die a martyrdom death, that he died of an old age. He was imprisoned yet. He was mistreated for his faith, but he lived the longest of the apostles. And we get this envisioned by some of the words he say that he was a very loving man. It was his desire to impress upon others the love that he had seen in Jesus Christ. And I think he was a loving, caring man. And I would hope for you as you listen to this, as you think about these words being shared, think about, if you can, somebody in your life that you would envision, they loved me. I know they loved me. Not because they said it, but because their actions. And think of them looking to you and said, dearly beloved. This is how we should receive what John told us this morning. Dear loved one. And also, clearly, John is here to say that he's not just talking about, I love you. He's saying, God loves you. Dearly loved one of God. Speaking of the brotherhood and the high status that we have from God, that God loves us. And John could testify to seeing this love in action. John seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw him when he stood over in one of my favorite moments in the Bible, when Jesus looked over at the city of Jerusalem and says, Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have pulled you in like a hen does her chicks, but you would not. John saw that. John saw the look in his eyes. He felt his arms around him in a hug. In the hand, maybe a hand holding during a prayer, John saw the love of Jesus. John saw him reached out and touch others in love. John saw his actions. You all know people who are loving people. You recognize, you see it. John looks to Jesus Christ and says, I'm telling you, he's love personified. He saw it. He knew it. I see three things this morning that I want to point out in our reading. First of all, God was first. God said it first. God reached out to us first. Secondly, John is telling us, follow his lead. And lastly, he asks us a question, basically. Or in his statement, he's telling us to ponder that question. Do you know God? God said it first. He made the first move. I wonder this morning, if you're married, what was love like in the early parts of your relationship with your spouse? Was there stops and starts? Was there times when you felt like things are going well? Was there times when you thought things aren't going well? Was there moments that you really felt loved and there's other times that you didn't feel so loved? And perhaps from both directions, right? There's times that you wanted to love, and then there's other times that you didn't. You might have shoved back or maybe pulled in at different times. John wants us to know that God made the first move. God did not wait upon us. Listen, if you came to God this morning, I want to tell you, you should have no pride in yourselves that you found God. God found you. As a matter of fact, he was looking for you way before you ever found him. He was reaching out to you. God made the first move. He made it in the cross of Jesus Christ as we look back in history. But I want to tell you, in your own life, on a personal level, God has reached out to you, and it is still reaching out to you. In this, the love of God was made manifest or revealed to us, that God sent His only Son into the world. And again, John calls Him our propitiation. And there's a lot to that word, but I'm just going to say, basically, it's saying the forgiveness. Jesus Christ is the forgiveness. He's our pathway. He's our doorway to truly receiving the love that God wants us to have. The ultimate love that all of us want. Listen, there's nobody here this morning that doesn't want to be loved. That doesn't want a sense of purpose and value in our lives. The Word of God says that you find all that by responding in faith to the love that Jesus Christ expressed to us on the cross. John tells us in his letter that Jesus was sent so that we might live through Him. You see, we think of living, you say, boy, this person's really living their life. What do you think when you think that? They're living their life. They're really enjoying life. There's something about them. There's something about a brightness to them. There's something about their way enjoy life. It's fun to be around these people, this person, this individual, because they're living their life. They're truly living. John is saying, listen, you can't really find life. You're not truly living until you've come to embrace this love that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you receive that love, when you've embraced that love, then you really began to live as God intended you to live. Listen, God is not here to take anything away from you. He's here to give you something. And John says, listen, that in and of itself is life. I know sometimes we Christians and me myself, as a pastor and a teacher, we focus and we think about eternity, that thing that's past us, that thing happens when we die. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ came to give you life today, this day, this morning. Let me ask you, are you living? In John's view, if you're not living, then you need to draw up to Christ. You need to seek to abide in Him as He is seeking to abide in you. How many of you have had a McDonald's McFlurry? The Rolo McFlurry? How many of you have that? Anybody at all? You're kidding me. One of them I know, my daughter's over, is not raising her hand. I know at least somebody else in this has one. Because I've talked to her about them, and I tell my family, somewhat jokingly, not totally, that if you've had a Rolo McFlurry, your life has changed. It'll change you. I enjoy it that much. If you've never had one, and if you like vanilla ice cream and chocolate and caramel, give one a try. Whatever they offer. They don't offer it all the time. Pete, you need to try it. I'm telling you, and let me know. It'll change you. I'm telling you, that's how I felt when that's how much I enjoyed that. Let me ask you, have you ever had any, I'm having a little bit of fun, but let me ask you this morning, have you had moments in your life, things that have happened, that you've just said, this here has changed my life? This incident has changed my life. It's caused me to look at things differently. It's caused me to perceive things differently. All of a sudden, the sun seems to be a little brighter. All of a sudden, for some reason, I find myself more easily being kind to the poor person at Walmart that once again is, you know, you're the 3,000th person that comes through the register that day. For some reason, you feel like you're going to be nice to that person because of this change, this something that's happened in your life. Listen, John believed that receiving the love of Jesus Christ will do that to a person. That there's some changes in your life. Now listen, I don't want to suggest, or neither does the Bible teach, that once you've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of a sudden everything's perfect and you never have any problems. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us in this life you will have trouble, and you may have trouble because of your faith in Jesus Christ. But I want to tell you, listen, the Bible says so clearly, and John says, there is a change. There's something in your life, this moment that you become a follower of Jesus Christ and you seek to honor Him, you seek to look at what He's done for you, that this ought to bring a life into you, that it ought to be causing you to see things differently. John believed, as one comes to understand the love that God has for us, it draws us to more easily love others. I say more easily because it's not always easy. It takes work. It takes effort. As the love of God is being poured into our lives, it comes out in actions towards others. I want to focus on the word actions because words mean nothing. I'm sure every one of you here this morning has had someone who shared words to you but didn't back them up. Listen, I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ backs up His words. And He's asking us to back up our words if we suggest or say we love others. I was thinking as Joe was mentioning getting a t-shirt and wearing Christ or the church or whatever, my thoughts was, if you're going to, live it. Right? Don't put that shirt on and then go out and live a terrible life or mistreat the poor person down at the grocery store. Have Vanderbilt Baptist all over your shirt and then cuss out the lady or the person because they're slow in running the register. Please, if you're going to put it on, live it out. Although I would encourage you, put it on irregardless. But John tells us, listen, we got someone to follow. Follow the lead. Often when someone tells you they love you in a romantic relationship, in other words, the one who makes that first step, the one who finally, gingerly maybe, again, if they're serious about the word, I know I've seen different generations handle it different ways. Sometimes it seems like my children's generation say that word much more freely than my generation did growing up. I don't remember hearing people saying it, you know, just walking through the school halls like I seem to hear it then. But I'm talking about when you found that Valentine and you've chosen, you're going to say something. There's a little trepidation there because you're putting yourself out. You're being, what's the word I want to say? It's unsafe because you don't know it's going to come back. You can say, I love you, and then what? Then isn't there an expectation at that moment? You know, whoever it is that makes that first step, there's a thought, okay? All right. Eh? You want to hear it, right? You want to see some kind of response. And it doesn't always necessarily happen. Maybe the other person is not ready yet. Maybe when Jesus Christ has said to you, I love you, when you began to first realize that maybe you're not quite ready yet. Maybe you're not quite ready to say it out loud. John here is saying, you know what? Get out there. Get active. Begin to love. Listen, I believe as we begin to put into practice those things that God has clarified that we ought to be doing. Listen, I know not everything is clear in our Bible. Not everything is lined out of exactly what to do. But we do know that loving others is one of those things that we ought to be doing. I would encourage you, put it into practice. Follow the lead and see if you don't sense in yourself, in your own life, there's something about this. This is right. I shared with the church, I think it was Sunday. Anyway, recently I testified about doing something kind to somebody who'd hurt me previously. And you do those things and you think, this is right. Something in my heart says, this is right. I know it's right. Not just because Jesus said it, but because I performed that act. I went ahead and did it. And I sensed in my heart it was right. Unfortunately, many people say the words, but their actions fall short. I love you. But in time, everything that they do seems to imply they do not. Praise God, I serve a God that will not withdraw His love. When Jesus Christ said, I love you, He intended that to be a permanent statement. I love you. The Bible says He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's standing there regularly saying, come to me, all you who are labor, and I will give you rest. I'll give you peace. Come to my love. Jesus holding out His arms on a regular basis. And John is saying, listen, if you really recognize, I talked about John's love, I talked about Jesus' love. He said, listen, if you really recognize the love of Jesus Christ, You realize what He's given to you. Shouldn't that naturally draw us to want to reflect it? Shouldn't we also love one another? Understanding the depth of God's love for us ought to compel us to have a loving heart. You ever be around somebody that when you're around them, you want to be different? I hope you have some people like that. Not out of fear, not out of a thought that, boy, if I don't, they're going to be mad at me or upset. But I just mean when you're around them, you're thinking, I want to be better. There's something about me. There's something about that person that when I'm around them, I'm watching myself because I want to be better because I'm around them. John is saying, listen, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you're abiding in Him, you're seeking to abide in Him, you should allow Him to abide in you, and that is going to be spilling out by you acting out and loving toward others. I really think that we are at the most like God in our lives when we are loving those who are absolutely do not deserve that love, because I'm going to tell you, we didn't deserve the love that Jesus Christ gave to us when He died on that cross, but He did it anyway out of love. He looked to each and every one of you and He said, I love you. I want you. John first, again, he says that we ought to have love for us. And then John shares some pretty stronger words, I think, concerning that. Do you know God? He says, if we love one another, God abides in us and His love is perfected in us. And in a sense, it comes to maturity. We've got to be careful with that perfect word. None of us here are perfect. None of us have come to a complete perfection. None of us become Jesus Christ. I'm not divine. Everything I do is not perfect. Everything you do is not perfect. But if you want to truly love somebody in a way that honors God and that truly is the way we ought to be loving one another, then that comes through Jesus Christ. And as we respond to others and love people in that way, not because we want something from them, but because we want to give them something, when we choose to do that, that is an expression of God in our lives, and that says that we know God. I know President Biden. I would even say I know George Washington. And there's many of you all that I know by name, but I've really not got to know. This knowing is not about being able to read something out of his Bible and say, yeah, I know God. I know Jesus Christ. This is talking about an intimacy. An intimacy similar to what you would see in a marriage. There's references to our relationship with Jesus Christ in the same way as a marriage. As a bride and a groom. So when he says, do you know God? He's saying, do you know God intimately? And if you do, it's going to be expressed. It's going to be expressed in this way. Those who are born of God, Jesus Christ, you may remember, had a conversation with Nicodemus. You must be born again. And he's saying, this is something that God does for you. You don't do it yourself. You don't all of a sudden wake up one morning and say, I'm going to be born again. God reaches down to you out of love and you respond to Him in faith and something happens. Something happens supernaturally. It's a miracle of God that we become a child of God. And it happens when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Childlike faith. Not understanding it all, not sitting down like a mathematician and trying to calculate it all out. If you're doing that, I'm telling you, you're not going to find it. You just got to accept it. It's true. I don't understand it all. I sometimes get frightened as a pastor as I study a text and I try to explain it and I try to think it through. And I think, why don't I understand? Why can't I grasp all this? Why can't I explain all this? I don't have it all figured out. But I do have one thing figured out. Solidly in my life, Jesus Christ died for me. He loves me. And I have a desire to love Him. And John says that in and of itself is indicating to you this abiding that's happening. Excuse me. Choosing to believe in Jesus Christ is not the same as choosing to root for a Super Bowl team, right? It's not the same as choosing to be a part of a club. John here says that the choice to believe in Jesus Christ leads to God abiding in us. We become the temple of God. The Holy Spirit moves in. You have a roommate in your soul. Loving others is a signpost of those who are the children of God. I didn't read this text. It's further on in the chapter. But he says, if anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, and I want you to understand, that's not to be just talking about someone who's actually your sibling in life. He's talking about others. If anyone says, I love God, and hate others, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. You've been offered love, the love that only can be given by sacrifice. Jesus Christ offered us a special love that none of us can give. Listen, we can attempt to mimic it, and God calls us to attempt to mimic it, but none of us can perform the sacrificial love that Jesus Christ offered to us. If so, there was no need for Jesus Christ to come and do that. He is the one and only that did that. I'm not Christ. You're not Christ. But we should desire to honor him with our lives, to reflect it in a way that draws others to him. He loved us sacrificially. Now go and do that as he did. Go and do likewise. In John's view, we need to periodically go to the cardiologist and have our heart checked out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. It's a love that is beyond truly our full understanding. Us help each of us here in our own way reach for it, to seek to understand it. Because I believe as we reach out for that, as we get deeper in understanding of you, that there is a natural response. Guide us, Lord. Forgive us in those times when we do fail you. We are human. Thank you for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Maybe this morning you feel like you need a heart checkup. It's a good time. Have a conversation with God. He never gives you. He's never going to ignore you. He is the loving Father that wants you to talk to him. Would you please talk to him this morning? Page 243. Page 243. Jesus loved even me. Thank you. realize that too. Oh, what a wonder. I'm assuming we can go ahead and have our prayer now for not only in closing our service, but also in prayer for soup and whatever snacks and whatnot we got. So I encourage you all, if you brought something or if you didn't bring anything, it doesn't matter. We welcome you to come and take part in our soup downstairs. Teresa, so would you ask the Lord, just pray and ask Him to bless our soup as well this morning as we close our service. Downstairs. I hope you have a wonderful day.